Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast.
Keep it simple. It is the podcast.
It's the only podcast that you need to listen to. So Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. There's probably now up to 12 of you listening. So for you 12 people, I'm Tom.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and coming at you from Kentucky, the great state of Kentucky, the bluegrass state.
Right. Home of the Cardinals as well.
Yes. So, Tom, why don't you introduce our topic today?
Well, today, a big part of discipleship in Christianity is the recognition that we all have spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit has seen fit to give each of us a spiritual gift. He's also given the church various, I don't know how to describe them, if they're spiritual gifts or they're just people that do certain things, and we're going to talk about that. And what are these for, and what are they meant to do? You know, are they superpowers? You know, like I have the ability to teleport, or Gavin can fly, or are they, you know, tools that God gives us to build up the church? So we're going to take the next few minutes and just talk about how that works and how that is really visible in the simple church. So I can read, let's start off with, we're going to read Ephesians 4, and this is a pretty natural place to start. So this is Ephesians 4, Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, and we'll just jump right into it. Chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is where a lot of people who teach on this start, and they've even come up with an acronym. What is it?
Yeah, the APEST, APEST gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers.
Yeah, we're not pests, we're APEST.
Yeah. There's been a lot written about this stuff recently. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are there's a good chance you may be familiar with a lot of the discussion about rediscovering these functions in the body. And Alan Hirsch and the folks over at he wrote a book called The Forgotten Ways that talked about this extensively. And
I think Neil Cole
has and a lot of folks you're going to hear. And I think it's with reason, because especially in simple church, you know, it becomes apparent that you need the analogy of being a living body is very real and present, and there's no illusion of being a staff of people that handles the functions of the church, and there's no real room for spectating. So this idea of, well, what is my role within the church, it seems to rise to the surface maybe perhaps a little bit more quickly because of the needs for people to actually participate. And so I'll just read, you know, what are these? What does it mean to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher? I'll just read to you. This is not my writing. This is from theforgottenways.org. You can go to that website. They have a lot of great resources. Even I think they may still have a little test there, which to help you determine which of these categories you may see yourself falling into. I'm not usually a big fan of those. I think sometimes the best way was just to take a description like this and give them to the people that know you the best and say, hey, how do you see me living my life? And again, I think that this can be very helpful. This has been very helpful for some people around in here in Lexington. I mean, we spent about 6 months on these, letting different people identify kind of where they saw themselves naturally falling in, and then allowing those people to kind of teach on those subjects. But Yeah, let me just read a few of these to you. What is an apostle? Apostles extend the gospel. As the sent ones, they ensure that the faith is transmitted from one context to another, from one generation to the next. They are always thinking about the future, bridging barriers, establishing the church in new context, developing leaders, networking translocally. Yes, if you focus solely on initiating new ideas and rapid expansion, you can leave people and organizations wounded. The shepherding and teaching functions are needed to ensure people are cared for rather than simply used. And so they're describing the role and maybe how some of the strengths and weaknesses. Prophets know God's will. They are particularly attuned to God and His truth for today. They bring correction and challenge the dominant assumptions we inherit from the culture. They insist that the community obey what God has commanded. They question the status quo. Without the other types of leaders in place, prophets can become belligerent activists or paradoxically disengage from the imperfection of reality and become otherworldly. So maybe you know a prophet or two. Maybe you are one. Evangelists recruit. These infectious communicators of the gospel message recruit others to the cause. They call for a personal response to God, redemption in Christ, and also draw believers to engage the wider mission, growing the church. Evangelists can be so focused on reaching those outside the church that maturing and strengthening those inside is neglected. Mm-hmm. Shepherds nurture and protect, caregivers mm-hmm. of the community. They focus on the protection and the spiritual maturity of God's flock, cultivating and loving and spiritually mature network of relationships, making and developing disciples. Shepherds can value stability to the detriment of the mission. Right. They may also foster an unhealthy dependence between the church and themselves. And lastly, teachers understand and explain. Communicators of God's truth and wisdom, they help others remain biblically grounded to better discern God's will, mm-hmm. guiding others toward wisdom, helping the community remain faithful to Christ's word, and constructing a transferable doctrine. Without the input of other functions, teachers can fall into dogmatism or dry intellectualism. They may fail to see the personal or missional aspects of the church's ministry. So those I think, I mean, that's debatable. We could spend, talking about, but I think those give a pretty good definition and understanding of what are these roles, how do they work, and, what do you think, Tom? Is every believer one of the, kind of probably naturally lean into one of these categories maybe more than the other?
I think every believer has at least one gift, whether it's one of these. You said these are functions, and I like that word. These are functions, whereas spiritual gifts are more like tools. You know, like you mentioned hospitality a while ago. That might be a tool to be used, whereas who would use the tool? Well, a shepherd might use the tool. The apostle might use the tool. And then another thing is, as we talk about these, let's talk about how they do their thing to what it says in Ephesians 4:12, to equip. How do these people equip the saints for the work of ministry? How do they build up the Christ? Let's start with the apostle. How does the apostle build up the body of Christ and equip believers? And first of all, let me say, people are probably having heartburn right now. There are no apostles, some people say. And when we say apostles, in my scripture, I'm using the ESV, it's little a apostle. And I know there was the apostles that were around during the time of Jesus. They walked with him. They knew him from the beginning of his ministry through his resurrection. I admit, those were the capital A apostles. They're not around anymore, but I think there are still people with apostolic ministry. We call them missionaries.
Yeah, or church planters would be another word perhaps sometimes that people kind of function that way.
People sent, that's all it means, sent ones.
Yeah.
So how does an apostle build up the body of Christ? And equip others.
Yeah, I think, let me say something about it. Let me just back up too. It's like, I think back to what you were saying, to me, the difference is that the people are the gift. the people are the gifts. It's not so much the apostling is the, right. is the gift. Like, I have this incredible gift to apostle or to evangelize, but that the God has wired some people naturally to be evangelistic, and that person is the gift to the body.
I agree with you.
And they may also have the gift of hospitality, and that might be, you know, something that's kind of a lot of the other gifts that we read in the New Testament, that, you know, they may have some of those gifts as well.
Right.
But I really like this because I think it is a description of a function that exists, that God has gifted people to function in these ways. And so, you know, does everyone – my personal belief is that everybody probably will lean naturally into one of these categories.
I think so.
And,
yeah.
And you know, when we did this, the question would come up, and I'll get back to your question of how do they equip, because I think that is the key. But the question came up. Could some people not be one of these? And I would say no, because to me, when I look at this role, I think Jesus was all of these things perfectly.
Yeah.
Jesus was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist. He was a shepherd. He was a teacher. He was all of those things. He was he was everything of those, and perfect in
the
all
prophet,
of those areas.
The priest, the king.
And so I think to the extent that he's making every Christian into someone more like him, he is working and growing us in all of these areas. I may be more naturally inclined to be an evangelist, but that doesn't mean that may be just, if for anything, for me to understand and recognize, so that I know that I need to trust God to help me be more apostolic or to be more of a better teacher, because that may not be my most natural the way that I'm going to lean naturally, just left to my own senses, or to be aware that I am maybe I'm a prophet, so I need to make sure I've got a shepherd that's in my life so that they can balance me out. And so that's part of this discussion and why we have it, because we want the body to function as it should. And in simple church, like I said, this is very important in that we want to do exactly what this passage says, which is become mature, attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what we hope to see happen within the body of Christ. And so equipping is the key to that, in my opinion, because, you know, again, this is a lot has been said on this, and this has been a big shift for me. I think for most of my Christian life, I thought my job was to share my faith with the world and to witness, you know, to be an evangelist, to go knock on everybody's door, as we talked about in the last podcast, or maybe for me to make sure that I could get on TV to share with as many people as possible. And what I've started to see is that if I have any sort of inclination to be an evangelist, that my job I will probably always be doing that. It's not going to be, that's what's in me, that's how God's wired me, but I need to be training up and equipping new other people to be evangelists and helping them to go and do the same. And it's this teaching others, this equipping the body for the works of service. So if I think of that, it changes everything, because now I'm not just trying to share my faith with my neighbor, but I'm trying to help my neighbor share her faith with her neighbor.
Right.
And there's a multiplicational aspect there.
Exactly.
That kind of is built into this idea of equipping. And I think that's been lost. I think we see that a lot of us, you know, it's like, if I'm a teacher, then I'm going to teach every week. I'm going to be the main teacher, rather than I need to be primarily about equipping other people to teach.
Yeah, you need to be training people to train others.
So equipping, how have you seen that work for you, Tom? I mean, what does that look like in your areas of influence and places you travel?
Well, I used to be working on the mission field in Kenya. So I worked with a lot of people that I would consider to be apostles. And the characteristics of that was they were sent, they had a message, they were very concerned in establishing at least the foundation of a church in a place where none existed before. You know, there's some evangelism involved in that, there's some pastoring, there's some a good deal of teaching, certainly some prophetic. So you see all of that, but, you know, it's focused into like a spearhead. The apostle is like the spearhead going into a new area. So we saw a lot of that. So he equips the church, he or she equips the church by, planting the new crop, sowing the new seeds, going to a new area. You know, the Apostle Paul was certainly this in addition to, you know, others. He was always looking to go where Christ had not been named. And I think that's the passion of the apostle. He wants to, you know, he's not content to sit in a church that exists, you know, even if it's a great church. He's not content to sit there. He knows too much. He needs to get it out there. That's the passion of the apostle.
Yeah, and so how does that, you know, what does this look like if someone's an apostle, how do they help other people be more apostolic?
Well, I think the apostle, he leads by example. You know, like, think of the typical missionary coming through your church, you know, with the slideshow and everything. You know, some people make fun of that. But that's important that an apostle, a missionary, takes the time to come to the home church to show people, you know, this is what God is doing elsewhere. And, you need to be looking elsewhere as well. Possibly you could be the next one that goes out and does something else elsewhere. An apostle is, I think apostles work as a team. I hope there's no Lone Ranger apostles out there. Paul wasn't a Lone Ranger. He always was part of a team. So, mm-hmm. you know, they recognize that they work better as part of a team. So whether it's a team of church planners, whether you're an apostle and you're planning new house churches in an apartment complex, you know, that's an apostolic work. You know, it's a work that's never been done in that area, mm-hmm. and you have a passion to do it.
I think of it as a releasing ministry, really, and that's kind of, you know, I've shared, I kind of feel like that's been a big discovery for me in the last several years to kind of realize I think this is how God's kind of wired me. I mean, I think we're all, you know, probably all could see that we all have a little bit of a lot of these things within us, but to kind of just accept that and say, yeah, that's kind of what God is calling me to be, is to kind of function as in that apostolic role. Yeah. And to me, I think a big deal of that is releasing other people and to go and to be apostolic themselves. I mean, there's a young, there's a guy that's involved around here, and he can't hardly believe that when I say to him, no, I want to help you see an entire network. I hope that this whole thing, I don't want to hold on to this. I'm here to help you to launch. I want to encourage you to send you out and help you do what I'm doing, you know, and that's a different kind of a thing, because most people think, well, this person wants me to be involved with them and they want to take credit for this. And I think an apostle is always empowering other people to live out that apostolic role,
yeah.
and go and send other people, you know,
yeah.
And much like the evangelist, you know, when we did our training here, we need to pick back up on it. But it's like, hey, who are all the evangelists? Help us. Help us be more evangelistic. We're scared to death to share our faith with people. That's not something that comes naturally to us. It obviously comes naturally to you. Can you help me be someone who understands what does it mean to share my faith with people? Or prophetic, to be, you know, to be able to function as a prophet. What does that mean? Help me understand that, because that's weird to me. I don't get it. You know, so help me understand it, and then in doing so, I might realize, wow, I'm kind of prophetic myself. I thought that I wasn't allowed to do those, you know, to speak that way or to think of myself as that. So
okay.
I think there, that to me is what I get, this equipping role, and it's maybe sometimes actually walking alongside of people, sitting down saying, I'm going to teach you how to teach.
Okay.
You know,
what about a prophet? How does a prophet equip the church? Do you know a prophet in your church? You know,
oh yeah, we got some prophets around here,
and the prophets are going, oh
yeah, no. Let me start cutting that now. Yeah, and you know, it's been wonderful, because you know, I'm thinking of one guy in particular who, you know, I remember one time in particular that we were having a get together, and he said, hey, I got something I need to say, and he basically just spoke about, you know, I mean, he spoke from his heart, and he said, here's mm-hmm. what I think God's doing,
yeah.
you know, and you know, some people might have not believed that, or it might have been intriguing to them. Well, who does this guy think he is? And certainly I don't think he was standing up saying, I'm going to say something that's superior to what God has, you know, revealed in Scripture or whatever. Right. But do I believe that God speaks to people and then he gives people a message to deliver to the church? And sure. I mean, and it's our job to test that. You
right.
know?
And how do you test it?
Yeah.
You
know, against his word yeah. and with
He's counsel. Not going to contradict him.
Sure. But a lot of what I think our result has been is to just shut those people down and not yeah. let them say anything, because it might seem kind of weird and we might be worried that other people might not take it the right way, or they're not going to do the hard work of maybe testing it, and so we just need to make sure there's nobody like that that's able to stand up and say.
Or he says something weird just the time when you bring an unbelieving visitor.
Yeah.
And you're like,
well,
oh, not
but
today.
In this particular situation I'm thinking about, this young man stood up and it was, there was no question that I think everyone there was like, man, that was the Lord spoke yeah. spoke through him, man. That, you know, and he, you know, a lot of times prophets, not always, but I mean, this, you know, I think a lot of times they kind of speak like the description I read. It's matter of fact. It's like
yeah.
black and white.
Yeah.
Here's what God is doing. Here's what he says.
And maybe if you're detecting a kind of a sort of a negative thing, you know, we're cringing about the prophets. It's because I think anytime God speaks to us, you know, he speaks to our faults, he speaks to our sin, and we don't like to hear it.
Yeah.
And the prophets, you know, they stand up and say, this is what God says. It makes us uncomfortable. And we shouldn't, well, I mean, we should be uncomfortable. But
and what really makes it uncomfortable is when you look in the New Testament, I mean, when you look in the early church, it was the prophets that were doing, like when they had church meetings. When you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it's if anyone prophesies, he should do so in order. And
right.
One prophet should speak at a time. I mean, the case has been made, and I think a good case is made that really in the early church it was built on the backs of the apostles and the prophets.
Right.
Like those were the people that were kind of out in front in some ways, not in a better way. They were not any more important than anyone else. But is, you know, we would shudder to think that today that okay, we're going to let, when we get together, if you just took the average church and said we're not going to let the teachers speak on Sunday mornings, just the prophets. Well, that would throw
right.
a lot. Which, you know, for me, I think, you know, there's been, and again, we're not offering any necessarily new ideas. Maybe it's new to you if you're not familiar, but the whole idea of that, one of the things, the beauties of Simple Church is that it allows the apostles, the prophets, and specifically the evangelists, or what some people refer to as the apes, to actually have a function in the church again. Because I think there is a truth a little bit to say in that the typical Western American church has been primarily dominated in leadership by teachers and shepherds. People that like to teach and people that care for each other. And those are important roles. But a lot of guys like me who may be more apostolic, we end up finding our place in something like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or a missions agency. Or, you know, if we're an evangelist, we may, you know, find ourselves working in a parachurch organization. Because a lot of times I don't know that the church, the way it has kind of grown, necessarily knows what to do with those kind of people.
Right.
And it does, I think, I'm sure, you know, it's an overgeneralization, but I think that it would not be a stretch to say that a lot of churches do primarily focus on caregiving and teaching. And so that's why one of the things I think that's, it's kind of messy, it's kind of scary. What does it mean if we let people that are apostolic function as apostles and train up new apostles? What does it mean if we let prophets have a word and help mm-hmm. encourage people to be prophetic? I don't know exactly what that means because mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily wired that way. But learning that and experiencing that has mm-hmm. been wonderful. And I don't think we're even scratching the surface yet. But
right,
I think that when we think about the body of Christ, clearly God gave some to be these roles so that the body of Christ would become mature. And we have to figure that out. What does that look like? And
yeah.
that's the mess and the joy of being involved in the body of Christ.
Well, I know that, you know, I'm thinking of a specific person in our church, and he's one of our elders, and I consider him prophetic. Because when he speaks up, it's like everyone stops what they're doing, and they kind of cock their head and listen to what he's saying, because he speaks with, you know, a certain authority that, you know, we don't have, you know. And he's to the point, he's biblical, and, you know, we listen. And I think that's the prophetic gift.
Yeah.
You know, he's not teaching, he's saying something that we think he thinks we need to hear, and when we hear it, it's like, well, he didn't say that. God said that.
Yeah. So. And I think one thing about, you know, in particular that gift, which does tend to be the ones for most church-going, conservative church-goers, depending on what denomination you grew up in, can be the one that can seem the weirdest. You know, one of the things that this one guy involved in art and in the network here has really been wonderful to encourage me is to realize that when we speak, it's okay to say, I guess, for example, guys, listen up. I think this is what God wants to say. Like, we don't have to, we're not saying, thus saith the Lord, in that we know beyond a shadow of doubt.
Right.
In that it's okay to take a risk. If God's put a message in your heart, I think this is part of the training and how he's helped me is to say what might seem, and to some would call a prophetic word, to be able to stand up and say, guys, this is burning in my heart. I think God has given me a message to share with you all. I could be wrong, and it's okay to say that. You know, it's okay to say that in a sense to say, you deal with it, you sort it out, test it, and whether or not what I'm saying is true. But I know I have to say this, and I think that's something that God probably puts a prophetic word, so to speak, in people's hearts a lot of times, but we tune it out because it would seem weird for me to say, guys, I think God wants us to stop what we're doing right now and pray for X, Y, or Z.
Right,
or there's some, you know, God has placed in my heart that someone here needs to hear this, and that is that he loves you unconditionally despite what you've been through, or whatever. I mean, these are kind of some of the things that sometimes happen that are very significant to people and sometimes fall into that category. I think it's a lot more than that, but that's one way I think I've seen this guy help equip other people to function in the be more prophetic and to speak prophetic words to people.
Right. And, you know, the prophet's going to, he's going to speak from God, and sometimes it's going to comfort us. Sometimes it's going to make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still a word from God. And, you know, God isn't about coddling us. You know, sometimes we need to be scolded, and we need to be kicked, but you know, at the same time, God encourages us as well.
Well, again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. I would encourage, if you're listening out there and you're involved in a simple church community, figure that out. Maybe just you can go to simplechurchalliance.com, search on the blog for APEST, and you'll find those descriptors there. Or you can go to forgottenways.com, and they'll have them there as well. You might find other ways of describing it, but I think the important point is to, if you're a part of the body, it's a good starting place to say, which one of these do I kind of think maybe God has placed me in?
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a Simple Church Podcast, or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.